Blog Talk Radio.
Welcomes you with great love and great respect from the heart of all. This is Meditative Living with Swami Shivananda Giri, bringing you the teachings, the blessings, and the Shakti of His Holiness Mahameshwar Paramahamsa Swarupananda Vishwaguru Maharaj of Los Angeles, California, who in 2007 became the very first white-skinned American-born human being invited into the rank of the 80 Mahamandalishwars, whose dharma it is to disseminate and defend Sanatana Dharma on this particular planet. Today, a couple of cool, fun, and exciting things for this one. Number one, we're going to continue reading from a text called the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganesh Puri. Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganesh Puri, India, was the guru of this Swami's guru. So, going back now, okay, from the point of view of this Swami, there is this Swami's guru, His Holiness Mahamandalishwar Paramahamsa Swarupananda. Swarupananda's guru was Paramahamsa Baba Muktananda. Muktananda's guru was Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganeshpur. This text was not created as most texts are. To this Swami's knowledge, Nityananda didn't really write anything. He rarely even spoke. He was an extremely unique and eccentric individual. And what happened was, a woman named Tulsi Amma took it upon herself to gather the statements that Nityananda would occasionally make. He was not one given to long discourses and explanations. He would just say something. You know, like the cool kids today might say, he would just drop some knowledge. He just drop some wisdom on you and then be quiet again. So, devotees and disciples over the years kept track of these things that he would say. And Tulsi Amma took the responsibility of getting them all put together, and that's what became this text, the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganeshpuri. Now, the specific version this Swami is going to be working from contains Nityananda's statements, which I will emphasize what Nityananda said, and then it is followed by commentary by a student and teacher from the lineage named Acharya Kedar. And then if there's anything this Swami feels can be added to assist you in understanding what is being spoken of, this Swami will throw it in there too. Okay? Then later, towards the bottom of the hour, we're going to have a conversation with a couple of this Swami's very favorite yogis, the directors of the Chaya Garden Ashram down in the tropical paradise of the Central American country of Belize. So we'll be speaking with them, see what's shaking down there at their ashram. Now, let us begin the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganeshpuri. We are now to verse 18. Nityananda said, "The supreme light and the universal light are identical." Acharya's commentary. Shiva and his Shakti are identical. God's transcendental and immanent aspects are two parts of the very same consciousness. There is no Shakti without Shiva, and Shiva cannot be known without Shakti. This world of forms is identical to the supreme I consciousness, which created it. As this Swami's guru is often quoted saying, there is nothing that is not God. Allow this Swami to expand a little on the transcendental and immanent aspect. There is the transcendental. Okay, when we say transcendental, we are talking about that which lies and can only be directly and consciously experienced once you have gone beyond the limitations of the body and the mind, beyond time and space. This is the transcendent, where the source is without any covering. Now, there is also the immanent, that which we enter into form, utilizing mind, sensing surroundings through body, in order to interact with, learn from, and experience separation in the immanent state. I hope that makes a little bit of sense. There is the transcendent and the immanent are both occurring at the same time. But from within the framework and limitation of immanence, transcendence cannot be picked up. So this is why in meditation, we seek to go inwards, upwards, and outwards to rejoin with the transcendent aspect. We have to shut down the sensory input, shut down the mental processing. Then true transcendent can occur. Verse 19, Nityananda said, from a plank are manufactured tables, chairs, etc. So also Brahman, or Shiva, or God. Don't let these words throw you, okay? In this instance, we are speaking of the supreme source of all things. So also, Brahman is the primordial substance from which numberless worlds are formed. That is what Nityananda said. Acharya comments, planks of wood are used to manufacture wooden chairs and tables, yet the chairs and tables remain essentially wood, even though they seem to have taken on a different form. Without the wood, there would be no chairs and no tables. In the same way, this universe is not separate from Brahman, from Shiva, from divine consciousness, because that is the substance from which this universe is created. Therefore, this universe of forms is essentially that same Shiva consciousness fashioned into what we perceive as this universe. 20, Nityananda said, manas and the Atman are the same to all people. At the final stage of the universe, all is one. At the present stage, there is difference in their mode of breathing, thinking, and their mental tendencies. Acharya comments, there are four ages known as yugas, the Satya Yuga, the Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, and Kali Yuga. These four form one world cycle. We are now in the fourth age, known as Kali Yuga. At the end of this age, the entire universe will be dissolved and reabsorbed back into the formless absolute. When this happens, all activity ceases. All objects, people, places, things are withdrawn into the one formless absolute. Prior to this cosmic dissolution, the universe would seem to be full of duality and diversity, full of many different forms, seemingly independent of each other, various realms, planets, systems. In truth, they are not separate. Only the one who creates, sustains, and withdraws this activity exists. That's Acharya's commentary. Allow this Swami to add. We, you, this Swami, anyone listening, whether live or in the archives, as individuated units of the One, we had to forget that we are the One in order to perfectly play the separated portion called a soul, and learn and grow within consciousness. The objective being to find our way back home again. And even if at the time of the dissolution of the entirety, we don't make it home, we still go home. That's the great part. Shiva puts all the toys back in the box they came out of. Everybody goes home. No problem. No such thing as eternal suffering. Cannot happen. That is a scare tactic that some traditions use. Moving on, verse 21. Nityananda said, "Fire, air, water, and earth are common to all. These may be used by all people alike. Similarly, well water may be used by a Brahmin, a pariah, and children alike." Acharya's commentary. Just as all beings use fire, air, water, and the earth, and claim these as their own, regardless of race, creed, color, caste, or past deeds, God belongs to everyone. Regardless of race, creed, color, caste, or past deeds. Also, anyone seeking the means to experience God in order to become a liberated being may do so. The water from the well of the knowledge of divine consciousness may be drunk by all. On the spiritual path, no sincere seeker should be discriminated against. God wishes to redeem all children. Kindly allow this Swami to add. This is where we often spin our wheels, create so many problems that are completely unnecessary. It's a big play. Think of it as a stage. You've been born onto a stage, an actor playing a role, which you are not really, but in the play, you must do this improv. You didn't write the script. You don't even know your lines. Yet you're born on this stage, this play of consciousness. completely forgetting who and what you are. And as the play goes on, we develop. We pursue our interests, our desires, run from those things that we find negative, cling to those things we find pleasurable. But there's something more than that. And it's just waiting within each and every human listening right now. It's in you. There is no separation. There are many who would promote the idea that the separation exists. But that separation was only necessary in order that you could play out the learning process. Punishment, it's just how it works. And if you wish to go back home, the light has been left on for you. If you make any real effort to move in that direction, a path will open. And all paths lead to the top of the mountain. And then guess what? Regardless which path you took, once you're standing on the top of the mountain, you go, and you look behind you, and you see there was never a mountain there at all. It's just you. It's always been you. You just forgot. Verse 22. Nityananda said, Manas is the Gingali. Buddhi is the oil mill. Ambrosia is the oil. Acharya's commentary. To extract oil from a seed, you have to grind the seed in a mill. Then you get the oil out of it. In the same way, to extract the ambrosia of the supreme consciousness, you have to grind the mind in the mill of divine intelligence. The restless mind must be made silent when the mind is fed to the Buddhi, the supreme intellect, and it is devoured by this supreme intelligence. And it comes to a stop. Allow this Swami to add. It does not stay stopped. These stops and starts come and go, okay? The stopping is an integral part of the purification. You do not become a blank slate without the capability of thought or action. That's not true. It's not how it works. So don't be afraid of things like that. By the way, manas, when I use that word, refers to the mind, the individuated, externally focused human thought processes. That is manas, is mind. Verse 23, Nityananda said, Buddhi, intellect, is the king. Manas is the minister. Manas should be subordinated to Buddhi. Acharya comments. What contracted intellect, the Buddhi, of the individual expands and merges with Shiva's will, Buddhi then becomes the channel for real intelligence. When this occurs, the mind must be subordinated to Buddhi so that the yogi always has access to that which is real knowledge. to that which is worth knowing. A yogi must learn to follow divine will. That is what being a yogi means. You'll hear a number of this Swami's friends speak about synchronicities. When you live within the divine will in alignment, these synchronicities become everyday occurrences. At first, they're very exciting. But really what they are is just an indication you're moving in the right direction. Things are going properly. And help comes in the most surprising of ways. You meet the most amazing people. Verse 24. Nityananda said, when a road is crowded with 5 or 6,000 people, it is almost impossible to drive a horse carriage along the road. The driver must be careful in driving the carriage. A cyclist's attention is not directed towards himself, but towards the passerby. Acharya comments, being a yogi, being a disciple of a great guru and on a spiritual path does not mean being a space cadet. One who follows a guru and engages in daily spiritual practice must also take responsibility for his or her worldly life. A yogi should become very focused and make his or her mind very sharp through meditation. Such a person should perform his or her daily mundane activities masterfully and in a way that is the heritage of the ancient sages. That pretty much says it. There are many out there who would promote this completely foolish and ignorant statement, oh, I don't need a guru. Well, then you're going to be lost. Because without that guru to open the gate and help you get through it, you just ain't going to find it. That's how this works. That's why gurus still exist. That's why lineages continue. You can have lots of fun. You can do all kinds of things, see all kinds of sights within and without, but you will not access the final stage without the door being opened to you by someone authorized to open that door to you. You cannot open it alone. That is completely impossible. Verse 25, Nityananda said, when a man is entirely sunk in cold water, he no longer feels the cold of the cold water. A perfect man is not subject to anger. Acharya, if you stay in cold water long enough, your body becomes indifferent to the cold, and you are able to remain in the cold water without being affected by it. In the same way, a yogi should remain in the world without being of the world. A perfect yogi is one who is not swayed by anger or the other emotions common to this world. A perfected being does not lose their equipoise, even though immersed in worldly activity. They move through this world as a spectator, remaining indifferent and unattached to that which is experienced by the body and the mind. allow this Swami to comment here. Flashes anger for a purpose to assist another in the carrying out of the Swami or the Guru or the Yogi's work do occur. And this is okay. Because they don't dwell on it. It flashes out, it does what must be done, and that's it. So please do not become one of these New Age knuckleheads. Oh, love and light. That's one end of the spectrum. There's also another end to the spectrum. You need not visit it often. In fact, you'll rarely see it. But on occasion, it may arise. And it has purpose. We must swallow the universe whole. Everything has purpose for someone. Sonic, let's take the bottom of the hour break. Hopefully, we'll have our guest. Hopefully. Stick around. Namaste, Evan and Lainey down in Belize.
Namaste.
Hi, Swami.
Namaste. How y'all doing?
We're doing great.
Very, very
happy.
Nice to
hear your voice. We're loving your show.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Kindly
you
allow me. Go right ahead.
Anybody with an ashram needs to hear your show. It's just so valuable to anyone that wants to practice yoga and take up meditation. That is just an invaluable tool. Thank you for sharing all these teachings, Swami.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, you are hearing the voices of the directors of the Chaya, C-H-A-Y-A, Chaya Garden Ashram, the only residential ashram in the Central American paradise of Belize. Very, very good friends of this Swami. And they are on the show today for a couple of reasons. First off, would you guys be willing to discuss a bit? See, for the listeners, okay, Lainey and Evan, or Asanaji and Mantraji, as I like to call them, they are yoga teachers. They are healers. They are raw food experts, kombucha alchemists, a rich palette of experience and knowledge awaits humans in Belize at Chaya Garden. Y'all, tell us about what's going on.
We're in the middle of our rainy season, and it's beautiful here in Belize, and we share our yoga practice with anyone that is interested, and we live next to a waterfall where we practice yoga every day and meditations, and we, like you said, we do a little bit of this and that, kombucha, raw food, healing, herbal baths, massage, and we have some nice friends, a nice community out here in Belize of healers and stuff. So if anyone is looking for natural healing, they should definitely consider coming to Belize because it is so easy to get to, it's easy to get around. There are tons of natural ways to heal here in Belize.
Many, many herbs in the jungle and even just right around the ashram grounds. We collect so many. Belize is a place where whatever you need to heal yourself is literally at your feet.
I love the way that Evan once told me, if you spit on the ground, something's going to grow.
Yeah, they do say that here. Yeah. Things are easy to grow, just like the chaya. The chaya plant is like a green, leafy green, like kale, that grows everywhere here in Belize, just grows wild, and you just stick it in the ground and it will grow.
Yeah, it's like a magic staff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the way that, you know, yoga can provide for you. And with yoga, you know, you can be strong and grow anywhere. That's really the goal.
Now, you guys are obviously yogis, well-schooled in raw food and that, but you don't have that Belize accent. Where did y'all start this process?
Well, we came from Canada, and we were just looking for healing ourselves, you know? And we got down here 5 years ago. Mm-hmm.
And we've done a lot of healing for ourselves and within our community and also within the international community that we have gently flowing through our doors at the ashram.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love the Belizean accent. Mm-hmm. Love all the folks down here. They're great, but I've also, I'm myself, and I'm just the way God made me. I don't speak Creole.
How do folks find Chaya Garden Ashram on the internet?
Well, you can just type in Yoga Belize, or you can type in Ashram Belize. Any of those will take you to our website. If you just want to go directly to our website, chayagardenashram.com. You can also reach us on Twitter. We are Indie Ashram on Twitter. What else do we have going on? Oh, we also have a campaign currently running on Indiegogo. And you can find us there. Our campaign is called 10,000 Leaves.
And why is it called that?
Well, right now I am sitting right underneath 10,000 leaves, which comprise the thatch of our ashram. The ashram is topped by a conical thatch roof made of leaves and poles and sticks, and it is about 45 feet in diameter, and gosh, about 40 feet tall as well. We're actually going to have to make it a little taller to renew it in a really good way, but it's a beautiful structure, and it's kind of like being underneath a giant overturned basket. We feel that this is the most optimal type of structure to do yoga in and to meditate in. The natural materials of the thatch are very excellent for expansion of the aura, for having your own natural vibration do as much for you as it can, and to connect with the natural vibration of nature all around us, like 360 degrees. We have trees and jungle all around us here.
So if folks come down there and they're doing downward dog, they can all of a sudden hear macaws, parrots, howler monkeys, that sort of thing?
Yeah, that's certainly true. And as
even, even here, nada, as I understand,
well,
down here, on more than one occasion, you know.
We now, certainly enjoy the song of birds all through our yoga sessions. And there's such incredible diversity in Belize that even after being here 5 years, I saw two birds today that I've never seen before.
No kidding. Wow.
No kidding.
I would like everyone listening to go to the page that you're listening on, hopefully, on Blog Talk here. You'll find three different links. One is www.chayagardenashram.com. Another one is their Facebook group. And then below that is the Indiegogo campaign for 10,000 leaves. Click on that one and watch the video that Lainey and Evan have put together of their place in paradise. When they say we live next to a waterfall, that just doesn't come. You got to see this thing. It's the most gentle, beautiful waterfall with personality and vibe that you've ever seen. And I've been to two state fairs in a rodeo.
Yeah, so true.
I've seen
it. It's literally
yesterday or the day before, and we saw a Jabiru stork right there at the waterfall.
Which is one of the endangered national birds of Belize, and it's huge. This stork can get up to between 4 and 5 feet tall. It's a huge bird.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah, no kidding. And it has like a big, shaggy, feathery neck. It's really unusual looking bird.
Would you guys mind telling us the story?
Swami was mentioning our waterfall that we live beside is literally right beside the ashram. I can look out from the kitchen and see it right there. More or less, we live generally without any walls around us. Our ashram is very much open air, and that is, you know, one of the reasons why we're living so much outside. We really need to replace the roof on this place. This thatch that we're looking up at right now is about 15 years old, and the pitch of the cone that the thatch is like a conical structure, is about 5 feet lower than it should be. So a thatch should last more than 20 years, believe it or not. Even though it's made out of sticks and leaves, it can really have a long life. But the life of this thatch has been slightly shortened just because it's not quite steep enough. So one of our goals in the rethatching will be to lift the center post up about 5 feet and just give it a little steeper pitch so that it can shed water a bit more effectively.
Right, right. Would you guys grace us with the story of the collage and the library?
Oh, well, yeah, the collage in the library. Well, that was also a day that you were celebrating because we invited you to speak to our group that day. So, if you could just jog my memory as to what you were celebrating, and that was the 23rd, I believe.
Well, the 23rd is the day that this Swami's guru got Shaktipat from Muktananda.
Yes.
So it was the day of his Shaktipat Diksha, which started his intense experiences back in 1974. But you guys did this really cool thing, this really synchronous thing, finding or being drawn to the garbage can outside the San Ignacio Library.
Yeah.
Well, I was just returning from dinner with my friends Molly and Brian, and Brian is a country musician and a rapper named who goes by the name Ridley Bent. And as I was passing by the garbage that's next to the San Ignacio Library, I saw a big pile of junk, and I try to keep myself away from the piles of junk, and Lainey helps me do that too. So I thought, what one thing would grab my attention if I was walking by that? And that would be a pyramid, a picture of a pyramid. And lo, there was a pyramid right there on the stack of books, and I grabbed it, and I took home a couple of books. And when I got home and I saw what they were, I went back with Brian to pick up the whole rest of the books. And there was one of the books was like Pluto on homosexuality with one of them. And I just thought that there was something unusual about these books and how they built the pyramids, that they turned up to be a really wild bunch of material.
Yeah, there's books about mushrooms, books about the psychic power of pyramids. It was a real, real strange collection.
Yeah.
Interesting to find in the garbage of a public library, eh?
Yeah. Well, it's a good turnover, and things don't last forever in Belize.
And you guys did what with that material?
Yes. We spent the holidays making collages with all different people. We're making collages on the covers of the books, which had been discarded. And we made over 40 collages, and over 50 were made in the project. And Well, these collages are still available if anybody out there is interested in them. We have them for sale. Definitely make them a perk for the campaign.
The
if you'd like to make a donation, we would. Mm-hmm.
This is the
Pardon?
Part I want to get to. Where did the collages end up being displayed?
Well, they got displayed at the Soul Project Gallery and in San Ignacio. Yeah. And we had a Moon Baton party there, and they hung for a month at the Soul Project, and people continued to make collages throughout the display at the gallery. There was materials there for everyone to use.
There you go. Well done, you guys.
So, like I was saying, Swami, if anyone out there is willing to make just a $25 donation, then they can get one of these collages. We'll send that to them as a perk, a special Swami
Excellent.
Perk. Yeah.
Now, is that something they'll need to go to the Indiegogo site to do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a list of perks, and they include
tell us about
distance healing, massage healing, and artwork.
3 days at the ashram.
3 days at the ashram, etc. So definitely check out the perks as well on the website for donating.
Yeah, and even a real easy yoga manual that anybody can use at any stage of their yoga, even for beginners or people who have never tried yoga before. So that's one of our perks. You can receive this yoga manual that we made right here with our guests and ourselves as also a perk for donation. We have some wonderful music mixes. Evan also is a DJ and specializes in really beautiful chill out music and also more danceable mixes as well. So some of those have been added to our perks so that people can enjoy that as well. Oh yeah,
and Evan one.
We also
Evan
are offering a cookbook from the ashram. All of our favorite recipes are also available as a perk. So we're pretty excited to be able to share some of our favorite recipes with the whole world too.
That's one of the really interesting and intriguing things about Belize is that the fresh produce, the beauty and the lusciousness of this food just growing right there. No GMOs, no chemtrails, no fluoride in the water. It's clean. It's natural. It's organic. Matter of fact, aren't you guys working with something to do with the growers in the area and focusing on organic and marketing that?
Yes, that's true. We're quite involved in a group that's sprung up. What's wonderful about this group is that it's comprised of people who want to buy organic and also farmers who are growing organic and who are interested in learning more about growing organic. I'm hoping that we'll end up with a co-op of some kind that encompasses both the growers and the consumers so that we can continue
right.
to work together to promote organics in the country. Now, sadly, GMOs are to be pushed on low battery, are starting to be pushed in Belize and advertised, and so it's wonderful to have a cohesive group that's ready to fight against this. And we are also linked up with other groups in Belize. There's Belizeans Against GMOs. That's one of the groups that we're also linking up with. So it's kind of a wonderful opportunity to connect the dots, bringing various organizations together so that we can experience our collective power in that way.
Mm-hmm. Outstanding.
Yeah, and there's groups of farmers down in PG that were excited to learn from. That's Punta Gorda in the south, and there is some GMO in Belize, but the trick is really a peer review based system maybe, or something where people can really find out more about what it is, what growing organic is down here. Something that is kind of new.
Now that's something you guys offer there for folks who come and stay at your place, is a raw food retreat, right?
Yes, absolutely. And because of our involvement in this group now, we have more organics to offer than ever before. And there's certain things that, are available locally that we grow ourselves and that our friends grow. And Lainey had her own organic deli and raw food deli and organic grocery store in Winnipeg that she started called Organic Planet. And she also helped in eatit.ca and Mondragon Cafe at the Pacio Vanzetti deli and grocery store there, Lainey set up as well. So we also been involved in food buying clubs since we, like any time Lainey has been anywhere, she's always made sure that there has been a food buying club. And, the thing I like about this is that, the buyers are involved and they're the ones that really have the concerns, and the farmers are interested in the concerns of the buyers. It's, it gives us the best chance we have in Belize where everything's very small. So.
Right. Yeah, because, folks probably don't really realize the total population of Belize is just, what, around 330,000 people?
Sorry about that. What was that?
I said the entire population of the country of Belize is approximately 330,000, right?
Yeah. That, but
so
also,
the country is just like a big small town.
Yeah.
Can I just say
Sonic.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Ashram. Just like to say, a few months ago we had a guy called Jim Sanders from Winnipeg on, and he said that he knew.
Yes.
He says hello.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Lainey. Evan.
Asanaji.
Mantraji. Blessings. Om Namo Narayana. May Chaya Garden Ashram grow and assist humanity in Belize. Bless you, and thank you for being this Swami's friend.
Thank you so much, Swami. It's such a blessing to know you. Bye now.
Namaste.